live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cambridge 105 Radio, California Dreaming from the Mamas and Papas. I thought that was very appropriate for our new feature, which is going to be on Green Fingers, and it's with Janet Fox from Small and Green, and they are at 82 Mill Road. And good morning to you, Janet.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lovely to see you.
Yes, thank you.
It is a sort of quite a nice spring day today, really.
Not quite at spring. I wish we were. Yeah, it does feel a bit like it's warmer.
It's getting there, isn't it? A blue sky is always good.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Janet, you are going to give us some tips on how to care for our houseplants, and also maybe things that we can be doing in the garden at certain times of the seasons. And obviously, as we're in winter, and we still are winter, I like to pretend we're in spring. We're not in spring. We're only the beginning of February. We're going to talk about winter care today.
Yeah,
but before we do that, could you give everyone a little bit of background on how you sort of got into houseplants, really, and where you how you got to here?
Yeah, well, I've been a gardener, a professional gardener, for over 20 years. For the last sort of 13 of those, I set up my own sort of business doing maintenance on people's gardens, looking after them. And then I was finding that a bit physically tough after a long time. So I decided to branch out into houseplants and terrariums, and had a market stall for quite a while. And then finally, a year ago, we opened our shop on Mill Road.
Yeah, so say it must have been a little bit of a difference to go from, you know, the Cambridge market. And were you there every day?
No, I was there. By the end, I was there probably twice a week.
Yeah. And then pop-ups and things. And then you took the plunge to go to a shop. And how's that been?
It's been great, actually. It's been lovely having the space. And we share it with the Garden Kitchen Cafe, who do fantastic food. It's just worked really well as a combination of two different businesses.
And I guess you're not having to put everything in and out of your van all the time.
Not as much, but
probably are.
Yeah, I'd still do pop-ups, but yeah, not as much as I was doing, which is nice.
So you have got a lot, as you say, of experience in these things. And I didn't know this till I've kind of been talking to you, that, you know, there are houseplants that like different conditions.
Yeah.
Who knew? And a bit like garden, that there are plants that like different things. Both of those things I was completely aware of, and was killing things off quite regularly till I knew at least that was the case. So where would you like to start today with the winter care?
Light.
Right,
We all kind of hate the darker days and the fact that we're all getting less light, and some of us get SAD, which is seasonal affective disorder. And the plants kind of are a bit the same, in that they're suddenly getting a lot less light than they're used to, and ones that are a bit further away from the window, I would suggest moving them as close to the window as possible, because during the winter, they're not going to get scorched by the sun's rays, which they might in the summer, and they will just benefit so much from the more light you can give them, the better, basically. Obviously, beware of drafts around windows, because some plants like calatheas can be a bit sensitive to that. But generally, yeah, just think about the light conditions of your plants, and if they're quite a way away from the window, just move them as close as you can so they can benefit from that sort of during the winter months. But yeah, light is key, I think.
That's really interesting, because you know, again, in my mind, you buy a plant, you put it somewhere that you want to have your plant, and then you just leave it there.
Mm.
And then if you're lucky, you remember to water it, you know, regularly, but not too often.
Yeah.
But I hadn't even thought about, like, seasonally moving your plants around. I suppose it makes your space change a little bit as well.
It can do, yeah. I mean, obviously, not everyone has the benefit of space around their window, but just think about the theory of that. And if you can't do that, then you can buy grow lights that are actually quite nice things to put in a lamp. They're not going to give you a funny light necessarily. Some of them are a white light, so they'll just look like a normal lamp, but your plant will benefit so much from that.
Wow, I didn't even know about those.
Yeah.
I think I could do
one of
those.
We've got them in the shop.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
And what else, apart from light, then?
Watering. So a lot of people just carry on with their normal watering regime through the winter, and basically all plants will need a sort of period of rest. Cactus and succulents being the ones that you can stop watering altogether during the winter months, but all houseplants, you can slow it down. And, you know, you might be watering once every 2 weeks. We'll slow it down to maybe 3 or 4. Obviously, use your judgment and see how your plant is kind of getting sort of used to that. But I always say to people in the shop, get used to the weight of the plant pot, the plastic plant pot. And when it gets light, then your plant will need a water. And if you're in any doubt, we sell these things called moisture meters, which you can put into right to the bottom of the pot, and they'll give you a reading of dry, moist or wet. And obviously, if it's anywhere at the end of moist or wet, you don't water it. So there's kind of things that you can do to sort of help make sure that you don't overwater your plants, especially through the winter, because they will hate sitting for long periods of time in really wet, damp, cold compost. It kind of, they won't be very happy.
It'd be a bit like we wouldn't want to, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess, does that vary from plant to plant as well? So, like you say, you've got to get used to what your plants, different plants might take.
Yeah, so something like an Aspidistra can last a lot longer without, it's called the cast iron plant for that reason, without water than, say, a Calathea. I mean, any fleshy plants like Pilliopeperomoides, the Chinese money plant, is almost a semi-succulent, so that can last weeks and weeks and weeks without water. So, yeah, it does depend on the type of plant.
Yeah.
But yeah. As a general rule, slow it down so you're giving them less water during the winter.
And anything else?
Feeding, I also slow feeding down. So feeding should be done sort of through the main growing season, which is end of March to end of September. But I actually carry on feeding my houseplants through the winter, but I just dilute it even more than it says on the instructions.
How often should you be feeding them?
Well, it depends on each particular food.
Oh, okay.
Because they'll all vary and they should have instructions on the bottle. So some will say with every water, give a little bit. Some will say do it every other water. But yeah, as a general rule, if you're going to carry on feeding, because you can see active signs of growth with your houseplants, like they're still producing new leaves or flowers, then just dilute it a little bit more than you would do during the growing season.
I'm not sure we feed ours that often now. I'm taking all these tips down because I'm like, oh, didn't know you. I thought that was like a once in a while type of thing.
Yeah, no, it's worth
like a special.
It's because
treat.
The compost can only hold, when it's a freshly potted plant, it will have slow release fertilizer in it. But once that's run out, then your plant is reliant on you to not only water it, but also to give it food. Obviously, every time you repot it, you will be giving it some food through the fresh compost. But, yeah, the rest of the time it will be sitting there thinking, oh,
I'm
really
a bit hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. That is terrible.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's worth bearing in mind, definitely, for all plants to be happy.
Do you recommend any certain plant foods? Are any better than others?
Well, we've used a variety, starting from sort of the basic sort of baby bio. But at the moment, we're using liquid gold leaf, and we have had really good results with that. So we're sticking with that. And that's the one we sell in the shop and recommend to people. That's, I think, what the professionals use.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a really good plant food.
And have you got any more tips for houseplants, or are we going to look at gardens?
No, I think they're the main ones. Obviously, checking for pests, that's something that people kind of think, oh, in the winter there won't be any pests around, but there are still pests around. So keep a good eye on your plants. Give the leaves a nice wipe to get any dust off during the winter, and that will also help to dislodge any pests. And really look at them very closely so that you can see signs of pests really early and catch them early. And things like squishing things, which I know sounds disgusting, but if you see aphids... or mealybugs, which tend to hide in this sort of fluffy stuff. Actually, hand removal is a really good way of getting rid of them. And if you're only seeing like a couple of things at a time, the more you keep going back and removing things, you might actually eradicate that particular pest.
Yeah.
So yeah, bear pests.
That's quite
in
a simple
mind.
But effective way of doing
it.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, it gets you used to dealing with your plants and looking at them and sort of seeing how they are.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, I begin to realise how much more there is. It is like having a pet, you know, that you can love it and give it all your, you know, encouragement like you would, not just like, say, put it on there for decoration and just, because it's a living thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All of this I'm taking on board. I hope to be a better pet. I've got a pet. I hope to be a better plant parent from now on.
Well, it's all experience. I think, you know, you learn from looking after things, and we all have killed plants. You know, we've all kind of not treated them well or neglected them. Everyone's done that, but everyone you get and kill or neglect, you learn from that experience, and then you kind of build up your knowledge, and you know that can be really rewarding over time.
Yeah, brilliant. Now, what about for the garden? Because it's all a bit, in my head, it's all like dormant in the winter, yeah, and you don't do anything. But I'm guessing that's probably wrong as well.
Well, no, that's not wrong, actually. Okay. I think that's a really good policy to have, because we're all into kind of like doing things for wildlife at the moment. Yes. And the less you can do to your garden, the better at this time of year and through the winter. So if you can bear to leave it and it look a little bit scruffy, that's probably the best thing. It's going to leave little sort of areas that creatures can kind of hide in and sort of hibernate in. They won't be disturbed. Leaves on top of the soil will help to protect it through the winter, so it doesn't get kind of washed away sort of by the rain. I mean, I try and do that, which is part laziness on my part, part I can't get round to it because I haven't got the time, but also it's just good for wildlife. They'll benefit from the seed heads. They'll be able to harvest all the seeds there, whereas if you cut it down and just completely clear it, all of that sort of has gone.
So we
probably don't cut our garden down till late March, beginning of April. I mean, obviously there are things you can do through the winter, like pruning roses, and some things are better pruned at certain times of the year, but as a general rule, I try and leave it as long as you possibly can.
That's very good. That's what I want to hear. So if people want advice from you, your shop, you're very welcome people to come in and just have a look and talk to you about this, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we do always get questions either by email or people coming into the shop and asking advice. We're always really happy to help.
That's at 82 Mill Road.
We sell books, so you can buy a book and research
Obviously, because you're going to be coming in sort of regularly, seasonally, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, we thought, didn't we, for the change of season. So we will be talking about spring next time. So if anyone does have any questions, if you send them to me, alex@cambridge105.co.uk, I can put them to Janet either beforehand or during the show, and we can answer those, can't we?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, definitely. Now,
so just before we go, is there anything happening that people could come along to and see what's going on?
Definitely. We've got events in February and March. The main one that I'm a sponsor for is the Cambridge Chocolate Festival, which we're really excited about.
You've got me at chocolates.
Well, I can't wait, because there'll be so many chocolate stalls there. There's about 20 stalls. We've got a workshop, a terrarium one, on the Sunday, which is unfortunately fully booked now, which Anna will be leading, and I'll have a stall there on the Saturday and the Sunday with lots of plants and pots.
And where is that?
It's in the Cambridge Union Chamber, which is behind the Round Church.
Oh yes, yeah.
It's a lovely, lovely venue. And we're just all really excited about it. It's
what date's
that? Event. So that is starts on Friday evening with chocolate cocktails the Arata.
What date?
That's the 11th of February.
Okay. Oh, so like Valentine's weekend.
Exactly. It is a Valentine's themed thing. So it goes on the Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for that, Janet. That's really lovely. And I say I feel now I need to go and talk to all my plants and give them a little bit of a love, because I feel that I've abandoned them, really.
Give them a bit of TLC.
Yeah, thank you very so much, and we'll see you again in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Cambridge 105 Radio.